Welcome to Get Down with K-Town. I'm your host, Esther Choi.
Hey guys, it's Esther here. I feel like today's episode will be super fun and relaxed as I'm sitting across one of my best friends, Grace Pei. Grace and I grew up in South Jersey. Yes, literally like from the boonies.
Like literally.
Literally like Atlantic City. Uh-huh. And who would have thought we'd be sitting here today? Like doing this.
In LA.
In LA. Angeles. In Hollywood. Yeah. Uh-huh. We came a long fucking way.
Yeah, we sure did.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I just wanted to share that with you all. And today we're going to be talking all things beauty industry and makeup, because that's what Grace does. Frankly, I feel like we're just having one of our normal conversations like we always do. Mm-hmm. Grace is based out of LA and I see you maybe a few times a year.
Yeah.
And I feel like every time I see you though, you have like these crazy, fascinating stories for me.
Yeah.
In the industry that you're in, obviously you like see different kinds of shit like all the time, right? Yeah. I just like really love it and really wanted to share some of it with you guys, our listeners. Grace is a celebrity makeup artist out here in Hollywood. She's seen it all when it comes to the makeup industry, has worked with some of the big time artists from Black Eyed Peas, Fergie, Rihanna, Fifth Harmony, and now one of your major clients being Normani, who is the hottest pop star in America right now. Right?
Yeah, 2020 is going to be huge for her.
Yeah, like she's really up and coming. She's kind of like at the face of it all, the new Beyonce, they say. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to the show, Grace.
Thank you. This is so exciting. It's my first podcast, and I listen to podcasts all day, every day in the car, especially
So you're perfect.
Here in LA.
So you know exactly what to say.
Yeah. So, no, I don't, but it's fun to be on the other side. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, I listen to the only kind of podcasts I listen to are like crime podcasts. So obviously it's going to be different.
Yeah, because you have this like love for weird
shit. I don't know why ever since
like
I was
scary
young.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you like the weird stuff.
Yeah, I think it's like the adrenaline. I don't know what it is, but it's going to either be church sermons or like horror crime podcasts. Those are the
There's no in between. It's just like sermons or like talking about like
horror or crime podcasts. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think this is a question that I probably never asked you. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you do that? Like, don't you get nervous touching, like, these people's faces?
Yeah.
Like,
so,
hello, they're, like, big time.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, it becomes normalized after a while. Like, after years
you get used
of doing
to
it, you get used to it. But I remember in the beginning, so how I started off was I started assisting for years. And I assisted Myla Morales, who at the time was working with Rihanna, and then Ronit Chappell, who was at the time with the Black Eyed Peas and Fergie's makeup artist. And I remember, you know, assisting kind of helps you get in the door.
Like your feet wet.
Yeah, but you're not at the the forefront. You know what I mean? Like you're there to assist. Like literally, it's a completely different world because this was over a decade ago. And this was before social media. This was before Facebook. Before, I mean, sorry, maybe Facebook was around, but not how it
like
is now.
Like all the YouTube tutorials
there was no YouTube. There was no Instagram, so it was literally just like old school, like emailing, like you gotta find out through like research.
Freaking different world.
It was a completely different world, and I think it's amazing that there's all these available tools now for everyone, but back then it was literally like old school. And assisting back then, it was like you're literally like a fly on the wall, like you don't exist, like don't be seen. You know what I mean?
Like that you don't exist.
Yeah, that is a good assistant. You're there to assist that artist and you're there for that person. And so for me, I'm so used to just being in the background, you know, and not being seen. So you get kind of comfortable, you know, after
in that environment,
you know? But I remember the first time I had to actually be the one to, you know, do the makeup.
Like touch this person's face.
Yeah, exactly.
Who was it? Like the biggest?
It was Fergie. And
that's freaking, so your first like celebrity was Fergie?
Uh-huh. I was so nervous because the makeup artist that I was assisting at the time, she wanted to start a family, you know? So she had her, or she was pregnant at the time, I believe. So first of all, it was my first time in Paris. So it was going to be like a traveling trip.
Yeah.
And it was going to be my first time actually being the one to apply the makeup. I was so nervous.
Wait, so you didn't even get, like, practice before that? No. Like, on her face?
No, because
it was like, oh, we're in Paris. We're doing this photo shoot. You're doing Fergie's makeup.
Yeah, it was like I was assisting. So I never touched her face, really. Like, it was just me assisting the makeup artist. And I remember when I got the call, I literally was like 50-50 on accepting it.
Why? Because you were, like, nervous about
doing. I was so nervous to the point where I thought I was going to throw up. And I finally was just like, you know, I moved all the way across the country to do this. Mm-hmm. I have to do it. And at this point in time, after doing this for like over a decade, I've learned that those are the moments that scare you the most, to the point where you feel like you're going to faint throw up. Those are what reaps the most benefits.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Because, that's like a defining moment of
Yeah, the bigger risks you take, the bigger rewards. Yeah, you're taking a chance. You might fail miserably, but you won't know. You won't move on or grow if you don't take those risks.
Of
you
course.
Know? So I remember when I got that call, I literally was like, I don't think I can do this. Like, I'm so nervous. Mm-hmm. I'm not prepared. But I was like, I have to do this. So I did. And I remember every night up until that trip,
I didn't sleep.
My anxiety was at an all-time high. I literally felt like I was going to throw up every time that thought creeped into my mind.
Like, you know what? It's like the buildup more than actually doing
100%,
the act, right?
Yeah. But then, you know, once I got there and the makeup artist that I was assisting for so long, she like trained me so well.
Yeah.
She made sure that I was prepared. Mm-hmm. And that's also another thing. I'm so grateful for the people I met, mm-hmm. like the makeup artist that I was able to assist and like, you know, learn from them. I'm so grateful for them because they really, really did prepare me to succeed.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the trip came out amazing. It was kind of like one of those pinch me moments. Yeah. Like, I'm in Paris.
Like, you couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And you were, like, doing makeup for...
Yeah. It was literally one of those, like, pinch me moments. And I guess that was, like, my first experience. And, I mean, after that, it kind of made me a little more confident in mm-hmm. my skills. Mm-hmm. But also...
I'm sure she loved it. She loved
you.
Yeah,
but also, she's so sweet. Like, literally, that's another thing that I'm so thankful for, mm-hmm. that I've never worked with anyone that's not... you know, the sweetest person in the world.
Well, probably because you wouldn't be able to.
No. And so I've been really grateful for that also.
People don't realize this, but makeup artists are the ones that define the standards of beauty here mm-hmm, in like mm-hmm. entertainment or it's a really big deal.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
makeup yeah. transforms people.
Yeah. No. Like, 100%. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be like whatever, but seriously, when you did my makeup that one time.
Yeah.
I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Who is that person?
Yeah.
I couldn't even recognize my... Yeah. I mean, not to say that, you know, these celebrities or whatever are...
No.
You know?
Yeah.
It's and just...
Everyone has their own style, right? Mm-hmm. Like, every makeup artist has their own style. Every client has their own style, right? So, I mean, a huge part of the job is also kind of being able to feel them out. Mm-hmm. Like, what, you know, you can't do, you know, a full beat, right?
Yeah.
Like... Some people like that, some people don't. You know, some people look amazing in it, some people don't. Natural makeup, some people like that kind of makeup, mm-hmm. some people don't. So it's really, I feel like to succeed in this industry, you really have to be able to kind of read your client and also be able to, as a makeup artist, have the skill set to really change, you know, accordingly to what the situation is, what your client type is.
What's the trend?
Exactly.
Speaking of trends, do most of these stars know what they want? Are you experimenting? Like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it really depends on the job you're doing also. Mm-hmm. Again, like for example, like red carpet makeup would be completely different from what I would do for, let's say, a photo shoot mm-hmm. or a music video, you know? And a lot of the times I do have creative freedom. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a teamwork. So you have, you know, usually it's always going to be a conversation with the hairstylist, the stylist, and then obviously like the creative direction of where the shoot is going. And you really have to work together to kind of come up with like a cohesive look, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be for whatever the project is. So usually we do have creative freedom, but also sometimes it depends on you know, like a lot of people, a lot of, and I mean, I'm the same way, so I understand mm-hmm. some people get comfortable with the certain
look,
you know, they're, which I totally understand. And so sometimes it's also trying to get the client a little more comfortable with like trying something new, right? Yeah. But yeah. obviously, I would never do something or try something new, let's say, on like a red carpet.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
red carpet is the hardest type of makeup only because there's no like Photoshop. There's no touching up.
Yeah.
Like once the pictures are out there, the pictures are out there.
It's out.
You know?
It's done. And the lighting.
Yes. And also you have... you have no idea what the lighting's gonna be. You have no idea the photographer, like how, what angle they're gonna be at. So... it's really hard to tell because it's probably not even going to look like what it looks like in front of your face, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So it's really nerve-wracking to do red carpet. And I think red carpet makeup is the hardest to do because you have no idea what it's going to look like yeah. until the pictures come out, yeah. you know? And so I feel like with obviously photo shoots or even music videos, you kind of do have, they're going to like, you know, touch some stuff up.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you have kind of like a say, like, oh, can you, you know, like maybe like smooth the skin a little bit mm-hmm. or do this or that. And so with that, it's not as nerve-wracking. Red carpet, hands down, is probably the most stressful thing in the world. And I feel like what a lot of people don't know is there is so much going on. It's mm-hmm. not like you're in a quiet room and like, you know, everyone, they're
yeah,
just
of course.
Sitting still.
I mean, it's like really
there
fast.
There is so much going on. They're probably sometimes they'll be like doing their fitting while you're trying to get
yeah.
them ready. Sometimes you have like 30 minutes to get mm-hmm. them ready, or maybe even like 20 minutes. Sometimes you have to get them ready in the car, mm-hmm. you know, in a moving car, or you know, they're eating because they haven't eaten, or you know, they're doing like phone calls, interviews, or like you know, meetings because you know, there's so much going on. So I feel like red carpet is so stressful because obviously those pictures are out in the world for everyone to judge,
yeah.
especially when you're working with celebrities because they're so high profile.
Yeah, yeah.
So everyone is there to free to judge. But then sometimes, obviously, like, I don't, you know, I just kind of like let it go. But I get so frustrated because I'm just like, you have no idea the mm-hmm. situation that, you know, you're in when you're trying to get somebody ready. But, you know, honestly, with that kind of experience, it just makes you a better artist,
yep.
you know, or mm-hmm. hairstylist or stylist or
whatever.
I mean,
you like learn to kind
work
of
work under
camouflage.
Very
yeah.
high pressure situations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to talk to you about your being Korean. You as like an Asian mm-hmm. makeup artist, like
yeah.
do you think that affected the way people perceive you
mm-hmm.
and like how did it affect it if it did?
Okay, so for me, again, this was mm-hmm. way before social media,
yep.
before Instagram, before like YouTube or anything. So it was so much harder to be seen or like acknowledge other, you know, the people that are out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I remember I admired Myla Morales so much because she was the first, like, Asian. She's Filipino. Well, she's mm-hmm. mixed, but, you know, Filipino.
Uh-huh.
She was the first makeup artist that I really, really kind of looked up to and was mm-hmm. inspired by because I was like, oh, my gosh, this, like, you know, Asian makeup artist is doing one of the biggest celebrities, pop stars
yeah.
in the world, Rihanna, you know? And so I remember I really, really was so inspired by her. And again, before social media, before YouTube and all that, I researched, I Googled the heck out of her. And then I somehow came upon that she was teaching a workshop, right?
Okay.
And again, this is before any of this stuff was like uh-huh. normal, you know? It was very, very rare for someone of that caliber to teach some like a workshop.
Yeah.
And I remember it was really expensive. I was broke as heck when I first moved out here. And I was like, but this is like a once in a lifetime opportunity. And so I paid it. I, you know, took the class and it was like one of the most, even till this day, like something that really, really motivated me even more to become like, you know, a makeup artist. But now, like over a decade later, I do notice, like, you know, now with social media and stuff, you're like, oh, there are other, you know,
yeah.
Asian makeup artists mm-hmm. out there, or Asian hairstylists out there, you know? But with me personally, even when I moved out here and I went to makeup school, I was like the only Asian girl
yeah.
in class.
I mean, because
you know?
I feel like the standards of beauty, obviously,
mm-hmm.
working in that industry,
mm-hmm.
like, you have to kind of look a certain way, not to be like shallow, but that's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember.
It's like, how is this Asian girl going to know like how to do my makeup?
Exactly. But, you know, ironically, on the flip side, well, not ironically, but like one of the reasons why I also wanted to become a makeup artist, because I feel like a lot of people don't know how to work with Asian features. I think it's gotten better now because, again, there's YouTube, there's tutorials, there's like Instagram now that, you know, now people are more aware and they can learn, you know, on their own. But back then, again, before any of this existed, I remember in middle school, it was my first middle school dance, right? Where you get dressed up.
You got your makeup done.
I went to like a counter, you know, a makeup counter in the mall to get my makeup done. And I remember I was so traumatized. I looked at myself in the mirror and this makeup artist was like so proud of her work, right?
And then you looked at yourself and you're like, what?
And I was like, I cannot go to this dance like this. I'm not going. And I remember I was like bawling in the car and I was like, I thought makeup is supposed to make you look better, not worse. And I literally was so traumatized by that experience. I eventually just like washed my face and redid it on my own. But from that experience on, I just remember I was like, oh wow, like I feel like people aren't familiar with Asian features because they're completely different, you know? And also there's a lot of makeup styles that we can't do because of certain features that you could do on, you know, like a Caucasian girl or, you know, whatever. And so I remember that experience. And even in school, being the only Asian girl, so how it works in makeup school is you learn new techniques and whatnot, and then you
do it on each other. Yeah.
And since I was the only Asian girl, I remember there were literally a separate chapter on how to do Asian eyes, which I was like, oh, that's great. So they can learn, you know what I mean? But I remember, and again, this was like 12 years ago, so I'm sure it's improved now. But I remember even when I was reading that chapter or whatever on Asian eyes, I was like,
was this super racist?
Not racist, but I was like, I would never do my makeup like this, you know? Like, this is gonna look horrible. And so I kind of showed them, like, hey, so like, this is how I would do it. And this is how I do my own makeup. And I just remember thinking, like, wow, this is such, there's such a void in that area of makeup, you know, or beauty, you know? And so I also, I feel like that is an advantage, you know what I mean? And
now it is, for
now
sure.
Now it is, yeah. And so being Asian, I think it does, you know, allow you to be like, I can do Asian features, you know, I'm Asian myself. And but like I said, nowadays it's come so far, you know,
I mean,
like
it comes
there
so
are
far.
There are a lot of people that can do like Asian, like beautiful, you know, Asian makeup, whether they're Asian or not. But I just remember back in the day, like just being like super traumatized. I was like, what the heck?
I mean, we came up such a long time because one of the most fascinating things that you told me that is a beauty trend right now is this cat eye Asian like eye makeup.
Like extended eye. So the trend right now, and it's so ironic because obviously like growing up,
you would have never thunk this.
You want like, you know, big eyes. That's what's considered like beautiful, right? And so there's like this trend currently in makeup that like people want, you know, really elongated, extended eyes, you know,
which
to make them look, you know, sexy and like, you know, more exotic, I guess, you know?
Exactly. And that kind of makes your eyes like look like slanted and smaller.
Yeah. Too. Just like pulled out, you know? And it's so funny. And I feel like, okay, maybe like as society, we've come a long way where, you know, stereotypically that is what you would get made fun of, right?
Yeah.
As
because being the, like, an Asian person. If you had eyes like that, you would put matte eyeliner on to make your eyes like look round.
So it's just like, I find it so interesting that historically, that's what, as Asian people, you would get made fun of. But now there's like this trend of like wanting that kind of like stretched out, you know, elongated to, you know, eyes.
It's so crazy. Do you think that maybe goes hand in hand with K-pop culture, like pop culture, really the rise of like sort of this like Asian phenomenon?
I honestly don't know where, I mean, why this trend has become so popular now, but it also is so interesting to me that just Korean culture in general has exploded, you know, like internationally, especially in the States and stuff. And like, it blows my mind that I see these fans where I remember, so, you know, I'm much older and I honestly don't, I'm not familiar with any of like the current like K-pop, you know, music. And like, I mean, I know like the really big ones, but I haven't listened to like K-pop music in like decades, yeah. you know? And so...
Not since, like, SES.
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, you know, HOT, yeah. you know? Like late 90s, yeah. okay? And I remember it was so funny. The first time I realized... I've been working, you know, pretty much strictly in the music industry. And I remember the first time I realized, like, whoa, what is going on? Or, like, how did this happen? Or when did this happen? It was for the Billboard Music Awards, mm-hmm. I think... 2 years ago, I believe, Normani was performing on uh-huh. there with Khalid. And so I remember, like, you know, we were backstage getting her ready to mm-hmm. go perform. And I kid you not, I have never heard a crowd...
Like screaming so?
Scream that loud in my life, where it was like deafening. Like you couldn't even hear the person right next to you talking uh-huh. to you. And it happened all of a sudden. I was like, what is going on? And then you look out and it was like BTS performing.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who BTS was at the time.
Shameful.
And I know, shameful. but I saw the crowd and how loud they were, to the point where even like the celebrities and stuff were like, who is this BTS? Like, who are these
Everyone's kids? Attention turned.
Yeah, everyone's attention was like, who is BTS? Because that crowd was that loud, screaming mm-hmm. on top of their lungs like they were going to lose their minds. Mm-hmm. And even mm-hmm. me, I was like, who is this BTS? And they're singing in Korean.
Yeah.
Which is even more mind-blowing to me.
So you were like, what the?
I'm like, oh my gosh, they're singing in Korean, but yet people, they love them. And it's so kind of like a proud moment too, because I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool how all these fans at the Billboard Awards, they're not even Korean.
Yeah.
They're not Korean.
Yeah.
They were like, you know, white girls, like, you know, black girls. Girls, like Hispanic girls, and just like
screaming at this like Korean
K-pop group.
But
they knew word for word the lyrics in Korean, and I was like, wow, this is
it's a very
mind blowing to me.
Proud Korean girl moment.
Yeah, for sure. And then from then on, I just started it just got like bigger and bigger. And it's like, I mean, I'm proud because especially, you know, where we grew up, it was a very, very small town, boonies. There wasn't a very big Asian population. And I'm sure it was very common for any of us to have experienced racism, you know, because
yeah.
it was a long time ago also, you know, it was like a different time. It was before, you know, again, social media, and people were a little more ignorant, you mm-hmm. know. And I mean, I had a great experience growing up, but it was just like the reality of things, you
yeah,
know.
Of course.
And so growing up, I feel like it was common to experience racism, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now just so kind of like it was like a proud moment where I was like, yeah, see, like, now they know that we're cool. Like, we're not these, like, you know, dorky mathematicians that, you know, like,
are... We can be cool, too.
Yeah, exactly.
We know how to dance and sing.
Exactly, yeah. So it was just one of those, yeah, it was a really, really cool moment.
It's funny, though, that the standards of beauty in the Western world compared to the Eastern is still a little bit different, though.
Oh,
right?
It's completely different.
Because let's be real. Yes, these girls, these celebrities, these pop stars are now kind of like wanting to look Asian, but it's still like a very smoky, like dark tone makeup. And mm-hmm. it's still that. But mm-hmm. in Korea mm-hmm. or in definitely in all of Eastern culture, it's mm-hmm. still... The trendiest thing is still the no makeup makeup look.
Yeah, they like it super natural.
You won't find someone like wearing eyeliner. Like
yeah.
eyeliner yeah. is like not,
yeah.
you don't wear eyeliner.
They like to look super dewy and glowy, which I mean here too, but mm-hmm. they like to look very, I mean just historically and culturally, you know, like natural and like not dark, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas in like ironically here, it's like I want to look tan because I feel like I look so much better tan, yeah. you know? And so I feel like, yeah, I mean you can, even though we are all Korean, I feel like you can spot a Korean American out in like a crowd of like, you know, Koreans, like,
yeah.
you know.
I mean, when
Koreans.
I go to Korea,
yeah.
nobody
thinks
speaks,
you're Korean.
Yeah, nobody thinks I'm Korean.
Yeah.
Nobody speaks Korean to me. And I'm like,
yeah.
저 한국 사람이거든요.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Meaning,
yeah.
like, I'm Korean.
Yeah, even,
yeah.
it's so funny because even my 이모 할머니 who came to visit from Korea, I hadn't seen her since I was, like in nursery school. Mm-hmm. She came to visit and she, like, saw me and she was like, oh my gosh, you do not look Korean. And I was like, really? And
because to us, I feel like we looked, like, if you see an if an Asian American saw us, yeah, we'd definitely be Korean. Yeah. Like, straight up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I get it. Like, I see, you know, Koreans, like, you know, in Korea, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I look totally different from them.
I mean, the Korean standards of beauty is so different than how it is here. I mean, they like to look super pale. Mm-hmm. I feel like skincare, obviously, it's like a, it's now.
Oh, that's
like,
another huge thing, too, mm-hmm. which I'm so proud of. I mean, anywhere you go, even at Sephora, they have like their own K-beauty section. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, it's weird because like skincare, though, and like the beauty makeup,
it's
still like so totally different. Like, I buy, obviously, I use all like Korean skincare products, but when it comes to like makeup products, I don't use Korean stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, it's like too light or something, or it's like too pale.
Yeah, because it's just different. The style is different. And it, I mean, you know, it also just comes down to you kind of become your environment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we obviously live in the States, we live in the US, we live in America. Mm-hmm. So it's a different environment and it becomes more normalized. Whereas in Korea too, like, you know, you become your environment. Like, I'm sure like if we were in Korea for long enough, we would slowly start to, you know, adjust to them. To their standard of beauty. It's, I mean, that's like with anything.
So it's you think it's like very environmental?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Because for us, right, when we see Koreans from Korea here, you're like, oh, yeah, they're definitely from Korea. You know, they stick out like a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. But if we were in Korea, we would probably stick out like a sore thumb. They'd probably be like, oh, yeah, they're not from here. They're from, like, you know, the States or something. So I really do think it has a lot to do with, like, your environment, you know? Same, I mean, even just, like, aside from, you know, just culturally, even just, you know, in California, there's literally so many different types of makeup. Obviously, like, if you are in an area where they like to wear more heavier makeup with, like, you know, a heavier eye, you know, whatever, I feel like you kind of tend to mold into that also, you know, because that's what's normalized, you know, in your environment. In that, but if you're like in an area where, like, you know, they don't wear that much makeup, it's more, you know, natural, I feel like you kind of mold into that too, you know? Yeah, but that's the thing about makeup that's so fun. It's not permanent. You can wash it off.
Yeah.
So it's fun to experiment. You can do, like, you know, different types of makeup for different things, and it's fun. It's not permanent.
Yeah.
Just you can wash it off if you don't like it, you know?
You can try looking Asian, and then if you don't like it, just wash it off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's really, really interesting to me how big Korean culture has exploded here overseas. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think the trend will be like in terms of makeup artistry, the beauty trend? Mm-hmm. Do you see more like Asian influences in this industry?
I mean, yes. Again, it depends, just because there's always going to be different types of people that like different types of styles, right? Mm-hmm. So there's never going to be just one type of trend. But I just think it's going to now kind of become a little more natural. I do think
that. You do think that?
Yeah, I do
think that. Okay, so it will gravitate towards, like, kind of like that Eastern, like, natural
I think so. Look. Like, you know, less, like, just more, like, glowy, you know, skin. Just, like, less, you know, harshness to the face. And I just think also, like, it's going to gravitate more towards, you know, skincare, like taking care of your skin. Yeah. So your skin looks good enough where you don't have to wear a lot of makeup. And nowadays with, like, you know, all these, like, tools and devices and, like, you know, science with, you know, the skincare, I feel like it's kind of go that way. I mean, I own every possible thing you can imagine. And it's, I mean, like, tools, like, you know, skincare. And so I think, I mean, it is true. It's just like, you know, your makeup is only going to look as good as how your skin looks.
Yeah, your natural beauty.
Yeah, so I think it is kind of going to go that way. And I feel like just in general, like, Korean, you know, beauty in particular, I feel like they're so ahead of us. Because I remember, like, you know, thinking, like, oh, you know, like, all those, like, snail masks and, like, even, like, that magnetic mask that was, like, huge, like, a year ago. I remember years ago, my mom got that for me from, like, a Korean skincare line. Like, the magnetic, you know, face mask that you, like, take off, like, a magnet. Or, you know, like, certain ingredients that they now use in American skincare. My mom would be using that kind of stuff on me years ago. And so I think
they're just ahead of the game.
I feel like they are usually mostly always ahead of the game when it comes to that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
okay, well, we're going to do this fun thing where, well, you know, because I literally was at your place making all this food.
Yeah, you were.
Honestly, I didn't have you taste it because I was like, you know what? I'm going to have you taste this tomorrow.
No, and I already, eaten a lot of your cooking.
I mean, you, yeah.
Every time I go to New York, I always hit up, you know, Mukbang.
Yeah, this is more special, though, because I made something specifically for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so Grace, sundubu.
Yeah.
Why is this your favorite dish?
Honestly, I love tubu. So like, ever since I was young, I could literally just eat rice with tubu if I wanted to.
So tubu is tofu.
Yeah, tofu. I just love tofu. And obviously sundubu, you know, I love spice. And so, yeah, I feel like you can never go wrong with sundubu. I feel like wherever you go, it's hard to really mess up sundubu.
Okay, well, that's kind of you can really mess it up.
Oh, really? Okay, well.
But maybe because you just love sundubu?
Yeah. I just love tubu. Like, honestly, I just love tubu.
So it could just be like plain and you'll still like.
Yeah.
Okay, so take a bite and.
Oh, wow. I didn't try this yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't let you because I was like, I want you to eat it on the
and
show.
And I'm not and,
like,
just saying this. This is really good.
So
good. Wow. I mean.
What's your favorite type of sundubu? If you had to pick.
Probably, yeah. Like hemur.
Hemur?
Yeah,
probably. It would be seafood?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because whenever I go to tofu houses, usually.
Like BCD or something?
Yeah, like usually they call. Sundubu, specialized sundubu restaurant, they call it like tofu house or something, right? You can pick your protein, you can pick your spiciness level.
Yeah.
So how do you normally get yours when you go?
When I first moved here and I went to BCD tofu house here, and I'm really good with spice, like I love spice and I can handle it. And so I remember, I think there's like four levels at BCD from what I remember.
Yeah.
And I was like, there was like, you know, mild, medium, spicy, and then like extra spicy, right? And I was like, I can do spicy because medium usually most of the time is never like spicy never, enough for me,
especially a Korean. Yeah.
Okay, at BCD here in LA. Wow.
What did you get? Spicy or extra spicy?
No, I got spicy.
Really?
Yeah.
And it was too spicy for you?
Maybe it was. I just don't remember. I just remember when I first went there, I was like, I can do spicy. So maybe I got extra spicy. I just don't remember. It was definitely spicy or extra spicy. And I'm not even exaggerating. My face was vibrating. That's how hot it was. My whole face was like vibrating. And I was like, oh my gosh. I definitely. But you know what? For some reason, I liked it.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I'm dying.
It's addictive, like, that spice.
Yeah. Even though I'm dying, I like it. Yeah. A lot of the times when I eat something and I'm dying and people are like, why do you keep eating it? I'm like, I don't know, because it's really good.
I have this very specific memory of you with sundubu. Really? You probably don't remember this because it's just, like, my memory of you. So it was, we were in Philadelphia. We had a long night of partying and drinking soju. And
we had many of those kind of nights, especially with Esther. I have many, many stories of Esther.
You can.
I'm not going to say, yourself, but.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
But this memory is it was like the day after drinking. And we went to go eat sundubu at the Philadelphia sundubu. There's like one restaurant that does it.
Yeah.
And you ordered your sundubu and literally you inhaled that shit in like fucking like 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Like you were like a crazy person.
Yeah, I'm a fast eater.
I mean, you're always been a fast eater, but like I've never seen anything like that. And then you burned your entire mouth and you didn't care. You're just like, whatever.
That's like the usual for me. I always burn my mouth because I can't wait. I just eat it. And then the roof of my mouth is always burned.
So now when I think of like sundubu, it's like I think of that moment with you.
I know exactly what you're talking about because I'm a fast eater.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'm just a fast eater.
Well, you eat very 맛있게, which means like you eat it like so like yum. Like I watch you eat, and in Korean there's this thing called 복스럽게 먹는 거. And you definitely have that. Like it's someone, you watch someone eat it, and it's just like, I need to eat
that
too.
She makes it look good.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like that. You have that.
Yep.
So Grace, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. This was fun. I'm so excited to be on the other side of the podcast.
Where can people find you? Mm-hmm. Maybe if they want their own makeup done.
Mm-hmm. Well, my Instagram, that's so weird to say, is grace_pae. And then my website is www.gracepaymakeup.com. Super straightforward. That's, you can follow my journey on there.
Thanks, Grace.
Thanks.
And that's our show. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. Get Down with K-Town is a production of iHeartRadio and was created by our executive producer, Christopher Hasiotis, and me, Esther Choi. Follow me on all social media at Choi Bites. And I'd also like to thank our producer, editor, and mixer, Marcy DePina. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.